Welcome back to Entertainment Talk. Today I'm here to do another video game review. This is going to be for Keeper, and not related to Goalkeeper, goalkeepers in football. Keeper, which is developed by Double Fine, available on Windows and Xbox Series S and X through Game Pass, but will probably be on the PS5 in just a matter of time. I'm your host, Matthew, and let's start off with our spoiler-free section with the rating systems. Go to our rating system. We've got strong must play, don't skip, possible skip, skip, and hard skip. I think I'm going to give this the same two scores that I gave Dispatch recently. Check out my review for that. But for different reasons. I'm going to give this a must play and a 9 out of 10. This is a very, very interesting, different one for me, and one that lands in an interesting spot in terms of comparing it to other games that I think have tried similar things but haven't worked as well. This is going to be a game that you'll go on Reddit or something, right? Not necessarily for like theories and things like that, although I'm sure you'll find a thread for that. And it will be one that someone will either say like, oh yeah, played half of it, gave up, didn't really care. You'll hear people saying, and I'll tell you where I land on this scale in a minute. You'll hear people say like, oh yeah, pushed through the game, it was fine. It was, you know, part of Game Pass, and they just, you know, added it to their queue kind of thing and got through it because it is very short. And then you'll hear people saying, like, I got what this game was going for, or I understood it, and it, you know, changed their lives kind of thing. So you'll get a bit of a range of those types of reviews from this. Where I land with that is, I think I got what this game was going for, as long as the thing it's going for is the thing I think it's going for. If so, I understood it and I got it. But I like this game a ton. I don't know if I'd say I love this game. It does have some flaws, and some flaws that I think could have been fixed a little bit. It's interesting also with the 4-hour thing, because, okay, there's a lot of people saying, you know, 3 to 4 hours you can get through this, and it's relatively quick. And while that's true, it is a nice, it's a very nice, very short-paced game, very well-paced game. The pacing for it is pretty decent. I did find in maybe the last hour or so, not in a way of me not enjoying the content of the last hour, but it felt like a game where I was like, oh, this looks like it's about to be the end. Oh no, this looks like it's about to be the end. Oh no, this looks like it's about to be the end. And that happens about 5 or 6 times. Now, in this case, I didn't see that as a problem per se. I didn't think like, oh, you should have ended by now. Even though the ending I would consider to be long, because that section of the game where it's like, oh, this could serve as a light, or it looks like you're walking up to the last sort of level, goes on for about half an hour. But reflecting on it and looking at that now, after having a bit of reflection on it, I didn't have a problem with that per se. It was just kind of, the game feels like it's going to end at a lot of different points, and then it obviously eventually ends. But the pacing of this game is very good. In terms of the 4 hours, certainly didn't need to be any longer. Could have, I guess, been slightly shorter, but that's not one of my critical or criticism points of this game. I think the length is very, very good for this game, let's just say that. In terms of things like the structure and the flow of this game, not really any problems with that. It was pretty good in terms of those sorts of things as well. You don't really sort of cut away to too many things. You're basically on like a pretty linear path, apart from a couple of areas that are a little bit open, where I guess you can spend a little bit more time in. So there's that. Just to explain what this game is a little bit, or just to sort of set things up here, because this is very key. So you start the game, obviously, you press start and you sort your settings out and all that, and you wake up as a lighthouse, and within the first, because you see the birds at the beginning, and then I won't consider this a spoiler because it's the point for most of the game, you end up with a bird companion, which if you look up images for the game, you can see the bird sitting on top of the lighthouse anyway, so I don't consider that to be a spoiler. I will be doing a spoiler section, by the way, because there's some interesting gameplay stuff that kind of happens as well later on. But yeah, you sort of wake up, you start just walking forward for 5 minutes or so, and then this bird sort of catches up with you, and you use it as your companion for most of the time. The game is completely dialogueless, I think is the word to use. It's got no dialogue at all, apart from some birds, you know, making some bird noises and things like that. There is obviously sound and music and stuff in the game, but no dialogue at all. The game doesn't, like, tell you what's going on in it. There isn't... I don't think that you read anything in this game. No, you just sort of go on this particular journey, and then it just takes itself from there, basically. Speaking of journey, something I want to mention, actually, as I was going through this game, and you know when you're playing a game or you're watching something and it makes you think of something else to compare it to? This is like if... Some games that are comparable are Journey and Flower, which are two PlayStation-exclusive games. And Journey, I think, is one of PlayStation's most overrated games, and Flower, I thought, was fine. I don't really actually remember that much from Flower. I think I played it a very long time ago, but Journey I played within the last 10 years, I think, and I think that game's a bit overrated. It's held as, like, one of PlayStation's greatest games. You want to talk about one of PlayStation's greatest games, it wouldn't even get anywhere on my list. But anyway, that's Journey. This is like Journey and Flower, but more... I like this is sort of my version of that, what I would want from that. It's just, I think in terms of, again, when you talk about narrative and story and plot, you don't get told anything. You have you do have characters that you come across, but they don't say anything, but they give you looks and things like that. I found the journey itself here to be much more interesting than those other two. And just overall, just a more better experience. I was more emotionally connected to this game. And yeah, just overall better, and just sort of felt more from this particular experience. So that's a little bit of a comparison to Journey and to Flower as well. On another comparison side, I was looking at this game, of course you've got, you know, Tim Schafer involved, Double Fine, they're known for doing weird, wacky ideas, you know, things like Psychonauts 1 and 2, among other games. So they're known to do the weird and wonderful, not in the Kojima way, but in a certain way. I've played three Devolver Digital games. I recently played a game called Baby Steps, which I did not like at all. I do not think that game's very good. It's functional, it works well, but it's not very good. I think this to me cements that Double Fine is what Devolver Digital thinks it is. In a way of, both studios do games that are sort of the weird and wonderful. Granted, Baby Steps developer, Devolver Digital, granted they go for more of the slapstick, deliberate comedy, whereas, okay, there is some comedy elements in things like Psychonauts and in Keeper, but Double Fine just do it better. And you can do that in a slapstick way if you want to, but Devolver Digital's games just don't click with me in that sort of way. They know what they are, but I think what Devolver Digital wants to be, or what they could be, is what Double Fine is. And yeah, so going through, you know, comparing Journey and Baby Steps and thinking about Flower as well, thinking about Devolver Digital, this is the better section of, you know, the better developer and the better game here with Double Fine and with Keeper for me. Just delivered a more sensible, better experience than what those other three games I've just mentioned kind of give me. So yeah, those are some of the positive things. I don't really have too many negative things to say about this game, but there is a few things that stick out. The controls at times do lack a little something, and I do think the camera is probably the weakest part of this game, because you can't often turn it in the way that you want to. Now, this game has an interesting habit of, obviously it has puzzles and things like that that you go through, and it's weird because the camera can be very helpful towards you, but when it's not helpful, when it's getting in your way, it can not derail the experience, but sort of slow things down a bit, let's say, and sort of give you a bit of a worse experience. However, when you, in some situations, you activate something or you click on something, and the game will spin your camera around and deliberately point, like, okay, here's the next thing. And that was genuinely very helpful. So, interesting camera in terms of, sometimes it's really genuinely helpful because it will point itself at what you should go to next. Or it will show you, like, hey, this thing's rose up from the ground in the distance, go and check it out. It will do that kind of thing. Or you can get a bit stuck in the corner, in the wall, at points, and you can't, you have to just manually move away from the corner. I think where the issue came in with it, and maybe it could have borrowed a bit of something from Ape Escape, in the way of, so you're moving your character with the left stick, and then you're moving your, the light from the lighthouse, because you use that, so you point that at things and you activate certain things, because that's the right stick, and the game likes to take control of the camera itself, because it likes to position itself in a way of showing you what's next, but sometimes it can get stuck. I think if this game had another option where it used just two other, whatever they would be, just two other buttons, like in Ape Escape, where you have the right stick for the equipment, and I think it's L1 and R1 to switch the camera, turn it left or right, this game could have used a little bit of something like that. So that's really, yeah, in terms of the, like, controls, again, so there's some bits of, like, maybe some input lag, maybe some kind of, like, oh, you thought you pressed the button, maybe you didn't quite do the bit right, or things get a little bit glitchy in that sense, but that wasn't too bad. And then, yeah, the camera kind of gets in the way of certain stuff at certain points. But those are really kind of my only criticisms of the game. Like I said, the pacing is interesting for the, at least for that last hour, or at least the last sort of half an hour, but I don't think that that's a bad piece of pacing. I just kept thinking the game was about to end, and I was like, oh, okay, it hasn't actually ended yet. So that was interesting as well. What else can I say about this game, spoiler-free? Yeah, I'd recommend it if you... I know Game Pass has just got a bit more expensive. You can buy this game a la carte as well. I assume on PC you can do that. Probably through, obviously, Windows. You know, it's Microsoft Xbox. And you can buy it on the Xbox Store as well. But, yeah, this is a nice kind of... If this is Double Fine's game in between, probably Psychonauts 2 and 3, then it was just a cool experience. But... it's interesting how the first hour or so, I was like, oh, this is a cool, nice little experience. It's not kind of blowing me away. And I was like, oh, this is probably like a 7 and a don't skip, probably, in terms of ratings. And then things just slowly but surely get more interesting. Little mechanics start to be brought in, and the world starts to open up a bit more, and you just start to get a bit more to it. And to be able to do those three sorts of sections where it's, not a slow start, but it's sort of like getting you introduced to the world and some of the simpler mechanics, and then slowly starts ramping things up, and then the last hour or so is just interesting and really amazing. And there was a lot of different points for me where this game sort of clicked and gave me a moment, like a couple of times, so I thought that was really, really great. There was a couple of times I sort of, not paused myself, but had a moment of like, I'm having a really great time playing this game. It just felt really nice to play. I know men don't use this word a lot, maybe, but it felt cute at certain points. Just nice and just cool and just sort of fun. There was a couple of gameplay bits where I got a little bit frustrated, but soon, you know, got past certain puzzle bits and things like that. But when this game is sort of doing its better parts of its, you know, its journey, it really does feel kind of blissful at some points to play this game. So I'd recommend it for, you know, that kind of thing. Not necessarily in like an ASMR kind of way, but just like when you're cruising along at certain points and certain things are happening, it's just which is kind of what Journey tried to do, and again, it didn't click for me in that way, but found just this world to be more interesting, and there's like lots of little characters and things like that, so I thought that was really great as well. What else do I want to talk about, spoiler free? Would I like a sequel to this game? Don't know about a sequel, but if Double Fine wanted to do something, because this is almost not in a way of comparing it tonally or anything to Pixar, but you know the way that Pixar went from like, okay, toys, monsters, cars, superheroes, a little robot, and then like, you know, fish, and they went to like, started going to different things to tell their stories. You could do like a, not a Keeper 2 or something, but something very similar like this, but you pick, maybe you could do a car or something like that, and you kind of could do, yeah, not in the way too much of like a, oh, copy and paste it, but you play as a car instead of a lighthouse or something, but you could maybe do something like that. But then if you didn't want to take the risk of, you know, repeating things, maybe avoid that, and then just probably eventually give us Psychonauts 3, I suppose. But yeah, this, I enjoyed Psychonauts 1, really enjoyed Psychonauts 2, really enjoyed this game as well. So Double Fine going up in my book. I mean, I haven't really checked out too much that they've done pre-Psychonauts 1, but yeah, three games in a row pretty much from them that I've really liked, for different kind of reasons and things, and looking forward to seeing what they do next. So, good stuff. Look forward to it. Probably in like, you know, a couple more years or something. I wonder if maybe they do like a Psychonauts 2 as like a next gen, like PS6 launch or something. Or, well, it depends when that happens, I suppose. But I think maybe within the next 2 to 3 years, you could maybe see like a Psychonauts 3 or something like that. We'll have to wait and see. Yeah, I'm just trying to think if there's anything else spoiler free I can mention. I don't think so. I think that's pretty much it. Let me just double check my notes actually that I jotted down. Gameplay, plot, story, mechanics is what I wrote down. Can't talk about mechanics quite so much because things get introduced, and those are, they're not story spoilers, but they are gameplay spoilers, and I don't want to ruin any surprises for you, because there's some surprises in this game. This game goes some places that I didn't expect, but when they're doing the different things, it's like, oh cool, this totally fits and makes sense with where you're going and what you're doing. So really nice surprises, so I don't want to spoil any of those here. Anyway, if you've played Keeper, because it's not really been promoted that much, by the way, it is on Game Pass, you can buy it a la carte, like I said. It's got it listed on Steam here as well, $30 if you want to buy that. It's on, yeah, Windows, Xbox Series X, and probably within a year or two at some point it'll be on PlayStation 5, so you could probably put this on Switch as well if you wanted to. It's probably playable on Switch. Maybe again in a couple of years' time. Anyway, search for Keeper on your stores. Go and play it. I recommend it. Hopefully you have a good time with it. Maybe, again, I won't describe this game as like it changed my life, but maybe it'll have that effect on you. And if it does, that's really cool. And if you play it and you get 2 hours in and you get fed up, I'm sorry that you had a poor experience. Anyway, if you haven't played it, what are your thoughts on it? Are you aware this game even kind of exists? Because they showed it off once and then it went really quiet, and then it sort of quietly came out. So, yeah, here's a reminder that Keeper exists, and you can go and play it, and it's really, really good. So, anyway, wherever you're coming from, whether you forgot about the game, didn't like it, did like it, loved it, whatever, and of course, give me your spoiler thoughts on where this game goes as well, if you've played it, Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org. Social media is either eTalkUK or Entertainment Talk. We're on pretty much everything, and there's information in your show notes. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmentalk.org. TV, games, films, Man United podcast. Just put out the United cast. We lost 1-0 against a 10-man Everton. So, there's that. There might not be a gaming talk this week. Things are a tad busy this week. We've got things like Keeper to do, and they've had some other stuff going on as well. Breaking Bad will still be this Wednesday. That will be the penultimate episode of Season 4, so check that out. And of course, the Pixar and Toy Story podcast that I did at the weekend. You can check those out as well. I feel like I'm missing something that I also did. I have reviewed Baby Steps, which I mentioned here, and I've reviewed Dispatch recently as well. Didn't review Journey because I wasn't making podcasts at that point, so or Flower. Anyway, you can support our content, entertainmenttalk.org, podcast platforms, Entertainment Talk, TV, games, films, Main Night podcast. Check them all out. Well, not all of them. Well, you can if you want to. check out the ones that you want to or whatever. Word of mouth, social media. You can, if someone mentions a thing we've podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers. ad-free podcast review options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news, Geektown Radio Tuesdays and geektown.co.uk. It should be at Geektown Radio today, which will be the 25th. Look out for that for Tuesday. So check out all that. And geektown.co.uk throughout the week. There's also YouTube Entertainment Talk Plays for our video game bits and pieces. So there's that. Alright, thanks for listening. That's it, apart from the spoiler section. If you don't want to be spoiled with any surprises, that's mainly what I'm going to be talking about. And of course, the actual ending of the game is what I'm going to be talking about in the spoiler section. I will see you on the other side for that. See you in a minute. Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system which is usually in the bottom right hand corner to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. Alright, time for the spoiler section. If you don't want to know the mechanics, the ending of the game, and the general kind of things that happen, I'm going to be talking about them now. So, go and pause it, go and play Keeper. You can come back in about 4 hours, or after you've played the 4 hours, roughly, and listen to the rest. So, you turn into a boat at one point, and then turn into a coin? I guess it's not a coin, because it was the light, the headlight part of, which I guess is like, you know, the heart and the eye, like the life form part of it, because it seems, you know, if you rearrange the, and you play as like a deer sort of Spyro thing at the end, which was cool. I liked all of them. Interesting with the boat sections and stuff, when you're going into a bit more of the open world. Those were some really, really great sections, just kind of gliding along the water, and you meet lots and lots and lots of friends along the way. They're all really, really cool. But particularly that last, what, like half an hour, 20 minutes that I was kind of referencing, and you're playing as the eye that can go really fast because it can roll, which, you know, makes sense. And you can like catch fire, and you can kind of like do a flash sort of run thing, and you're just gliding through this level. I thought that was just like really, really, really cool with all of that. And then just gets into some trippy kind of bits at the end. I don't think it loses its narrative thread. Some things have got a habit when they get, you know, dystopian in that way, or kind of very sci-fi in that way, where things literally get quite trippy and you kind of lose the sort of narrative thread. I don't feel like this game actually did that, which was really quite nice as well. But yeah, that all happens, and then the whole boat section. The boat made more sense granted than the other two. The deer one was interesting, though. Or I guess it could be perceived as a bird, I suppose. But yeah, I think the camera issues come more into play when you're on the boat, because you can get into corners and things like that. So that was kind of interesting. There's a few little awkward bits with like managing the light at some points as well, like if you're positioned not quite properly and all those sorts of things. And then there's like really satisfying bits when you're sort of guiding the light ball thing like through the tube. That was really, really cool. But yeah, for a game that's got so much going on, it does just have like you move around or you swim around, you've got your boost button or your dash button, and then your light thing, and then you can sort of, well, I guess you do have the crank that you use in different bits. You've got the X button for using the bird, but those are kind of like slightly different mechanics. But just yeah, loved going through and helping like the guardian thing. That was really, really cool. Nice kind of almost Wall-E sort of moment. That was really, really great. Did make me think of Pixar a couple of times this game. That was sort of one of the occasions. And also just the sort of, again, Pixar's got that habit of making you care about stuff. And it was interesting, the difference in at least my feelings of like, okay, first hour, this is cool. I don't feel like I need to quit and just not take interest in this game because I want to see where it goes. And then just slowly but surely, it's like, oh, use the bird for this. And then there's more puzzles and then there's more lights to manage and those sorts of things. So it kind of takes itself from there. And then you get like more into the world. You get to see sort of more characters and you help most of them out. You sort of get rid of the darkness. I like the sort of thematic attempt as well at, or at least I took it as a thematic attempt, using your light to sort of clear the darkness. There's lots of different, you know, ways you could interpret that, but sort of using the light to clear the darkness, I guess, if you want, that was really great as well, because you are the sort of keeper, you are the lighthouse, so it sort of clears the way for that. You're the sort of safeguard, I suppose, because, you know, that's what lighthouses do. They sort of serve light in dark times, don't they, for boats and things like that. So in that way, I guess it's appropriate that you do become a boat after you are a lighthouse, which is quite nice. The only little bit of the game that didn't quite make sense to me, but I almost forgot, was you go somewhere as a boat, you sort of crash a little bit, you get stuck in the ground as a lighthouse, and then you actually sort of play as a grounded lighthouse, and you're spinning around getting rid of the darkness, and eventually it overcomes you, and then you just go back to being a boat. And I almost took that as like a bad dream section, not bad as in badly written, but like you've been knocked out and you've had a nightmare or something. That's kind of the way that I took it. So that was kind of an interesting little piece to this game as well. Just amazing how much like empathy and heart and story you can get through to the audience, or at least to me, with having zero lines in the entire game. I know characters sort of look at each other, and you know there's little emotion bits from the lighthouse itself. But yeah, that's like one of the skills that Pixar's got. So credit to Double Fine for being able to do that. I'll tell you, one of my favorite parts of this game though is the, I guess you'd call it candy floss, the sort of cloud part. That was really, really fun. That was really, really a lot of fun. It's a shame that didn't last a little bit longer, but it's like you sort of just forgot about any of the difficulties you'd had in the game, and you're just like, yeah, in a field of clouds in a way, or candy floss if you want to call that, but you're like just gliding and jumping through a field of clouds. Again, this game's ability to sort of portray emotion was really excellent in that sense. I guess what it tries to get you to do as an audience member is like, okay, look at what's happening on screen, look at where you are, look at what's going on, look at the characters, how they're perceiving things. Are you in a darker area, a lighter area? What are you doing? How are the characters reacting to you? And what's your interpretation of, I guess, all those kinds of things. So an interesting take from that point. I think I'm still going to give it a normal must play and a 9 out of 10, because it's still very, very good in that sense. I think I'll keep that score, although I did really like this game. I think if there had been something else, although I don't know what that something else had been, and if I'd loved this game, I maybe would have upgraded to a strong must play. But then I can't ignore things like camera issues, which are there for a portion of time and I have to be balanced and have to be fair. So, but a must play in a 9 is still an incredibly high rating. So, but yeah, very, very, very good. What other bits do I want to talk about? There's lots of characters you come across and help, and you've got the eye things, and you've got the like the blue rocks that you get. You've got the like electronic eye socket things that you push in. That was quite good to do. There's the guardian that you help, which I thought was quite good. And again, for me, it's not a case of, oh, it looks really great and that's attractive to me, because again, I'm not a graphics person. But when you can attempt to tell me, because while I'm not a graphics person, if you can attempt to tell me, like, give me a use the graphics in your environment and the design of what you've got rather than the quality of the image that you have, you, and like, you know, making grass and rocks look really good, use that to tell me some like environmental storytelling, which there is some of in this game, but it's more, this is less maybe about environmental storytelling and more about just invoking a feeling of what's going on when you're going through the game, I think. And like, with all the colors and where, you know, where everything is and what you're doing, how is it making you feel and how is it making you perceive what's going on in the area, I guess, rather than necessarily environmental storytelling. Because this game, because what I consider environmental storytelling is sort of, well, that in its basic sense, but then also, like, if you leave something behind or can tell something in an area has happened, like, there's nobody necessarily active there, but there's, like, you know, whether it's a dead body or something, or just, like, an aftermath of something, and you can see, so it doesn't do that as much. It does do that at some points, and when it does do that, it's still really, really good. But I took it more as using in the environment to make you have feelings rather than a storytelling aspect. Although I would say it does both, but it does the emotional part more, I would say. I think it's more about how are you feeling about the area that you're in, as opposed to what do you think happened here, I guess. Because where you've got games like you know, Last of Us 1 and 2, and you've got Expedition 33, is sort of in those two worlds, three different games, that's sort of where you come across an area and it's like, right, there's a chair on the floor, a smashed window, a gun, and it's like, okay, what do you think happened here? And in Expedition 33, it's like, there's a Ferris wheel in the cloud, and there's a smashed boat, what do you think happened here, kind of thing. And again, this game has got that, but I think it's more just sort of, you enter an area and you get a sense of emotion from what's going on, and it's sort of like, I think this game's trying to get you to do the more, how do you feel more, rather than what happened here, or what can you get a sense of what's going on. Plus, with environmental storytelling, it's more about something has happened, what do you think it was? And with this, it's sort of like, no, characters are living there right now. There's not sort of not the aftermath sense of that. It's more sort of, you go up to it and sort of like, what's happening right now, rather than what has happened, I suppose. Anyway, that's just my take on it. Maybe you have a different one, and if you do, you can let me know. But yeah, I mean, if you can get me to think about The Last of Us and Pixar, not that they're related, The Last of Us and Pixar when I'm playing a game, you've done pretty well. You've done pretty well indeed. So, anyway, yeah, the section at the end is pretty mad. I should talk about the ending itself. So, all the birds fly away, and you become the cliff, which is the lighthouse. Now, in the specific achievement, it's like, oh, the lighthouse is gone, you've become whatever it is. I didn't take that to mean the lighthouse is dead, because the light's still on, right? Because to me, while it was like, okay, you break a bunch of times and all that, as long as the headpiece still worked and you could attach it to something, that meant that the keeper's still alive. And at the end of the game, while you do get sucked into the whatever that thing is, while that does happen, I took it more as like, you've merged with this hill, Whether you can unmerge from it like you did with all the different mechanics is a different thing, but I didn't take that as like the lighthouse has died. I took it as sort of it's merged with the hill and now it's using its light to help everybody out. I mean, yeah, would it have been cool to see the makeshift bird costume body that you had, and like you, because I thought what was maybe going to happen is this thing that you stare at is going to give you powers and you'll end up flying off with the birds at the end, and that didn't quite happen, but then I guess you're a lighthouse and not a bird, so there we go. Anyway, yeah, that was my thoughts and interpretation on the ending, so very, very good. Alright, I didn't think I'd be doing 33 minutes on Keeper when I first saw it, but there's a lot in here, isn't there? There's a lot in here. Clearly this game made me think of certain stuff, so. Alright, anyway, that is it for me. Thank you all very much for listening. Next video game review, I should be starting it in the next day or two, is going to be Little Nightmares 3, which I'm looking forward to playing, which is also supposed to be short as well, so review coming for that soon when I finish it, obviously. So, alright, thanks very much for listening, and I will see you next time. Goodbye.